again for joining us today and for being a part of the SIBC church family this morning. If you've been around the last few weeks, you know that we are in week five of our new series that Noji just mentioned. It's called the Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. After spending almost a whole year talking about kingdom culture and discovering what life in the kingdom of God looks like, we now want to take the next step. And we want to explore what it means to be the people of God. Right? And that's what the church is, right? The church is the people of God. As we've been saying the last few weeks, in the Bible, it never uses the word church to describe a building. It never uses the word church to describe what we're doing right now, a worship service. It doesn't use the word church to describe a religious organization. You know, sometimes we talk about SIBC being the church. But the Bible doesn't use the word church in any of those ways. In the Bible, the church is always the people of God. So we're the people of God. You're the people of God. I'm the people of God. And we're the people of God. We're the church, not because we're sitting in a religious building on a religious day doing religious things. We are the church because we are the people of God. And that's kind of what we've been looking at the first couple of weeks. And so now here at SIBC, we want to explore just what it means to be the church, to be the people of God. And rather than just kind of do church, like we, you know, maybe do it, you know, every week, we really want to look at what the Word of God has to say. And we want to explore really God's heart for how He wants us to be the church and how He wants us to gather together as the church family, not only on Sunday mornings, but how He wants us to do life together during the week as well. And so really that's what this series is all about. We're taking time to rethink the church. And honestly, I have no idea where this series is going to lead us, right? I mean, I have no personal agenda of kind of where I'm trying to lead the church at all. But, you know, I really believe that as we begin to consider these things that we're talking about each week, that God is taking us on a journey. And we truly want just to become a people who reflect His heart and to live according to His Word. So, if you were here 2 weeks ago, we began to look at just kind of a general sense of what the church is and what it means to be the people of God. And we saw 2 weeks ago that as the people of God, as the church, we are a relational people, right? We are a spiritual people. We are a growing people. Do these sound familiar? And we are a missional people, right? We saw that a couple of weeks ago. That's God's heart for us. And then last week we saw that Jesus promises to build His church. And the church that Jesus wants to build is characterized by a couple of things we saw last week. The church of Jesus Christ is characterized by the lordship of Jesus, characterized by the presence of Jesus. It's characterized by the power of Jesus, right? And again, friends, that's God's heart for you and I. He wants us to live with Jesus as Lord. He wants us to value His presence. He wants us to learn how to be filled with the Spirit of God. So that's kind of where we've been the last few weeks, just kind of getting a general feel for what it means to be the church, the people of God. Well, today, starting today, we want to spend the next few weeks talking about leadership in the church. Now, you might think, well, that's kind of boring. I mean, if you don't see yourself as a church leader, why do we need to talk about this? But friends, I think this is actually a very important topic for all of us, right? What does the Bible say about leaders in the church? Who are the leaders? How does someone become a leader? What kind of training, if any, is required for leaders? What's their responsibility? What authority do they have in the church? What authority do they have over the people in the church? What role do leaders play in the life of the church? And friends, these questions are very, very important because our answers to these questions will greatly affect how we do everything here at SIBC. How we understand church leaders will influence and affect how we spend our time together here on Sunday morning, right? How we answer these questions will determine who we look to in the church and who we follow in the church and who we listen to in the church. And in fact, I think this topic affects every one of us, maybe even more than you and I realize. So that's why we're going to take actually, gosh, maybe 5, 6, 7 weeks, just rethinking leadership in the church. We want to explore God's heart about this, and I think it'll be good for all of us. So this morning, we're going to start with just a very simple question, and our question for today is this: who is our leader? Right, here at SIBC, who's the leader of SIBC? As we gather together as a church family, who do we expect to lead us? Who do we expect to guide us? Now, if most people, if they were to answer that question, they would probably say, oh, the pastor. The pastor is the leader of the church. Some of you might even point to me and say, oh, Michael, yeah, Michael, he's the leader here at SIBC. Or maybe you would kind of have a little broader definition and you would point to the leadership team. Oh, you know, Michael and Chris and Noji, they're the leaders. Right? And maybe you would actually expect, you would look to us for direction and for leadership and guidance. You might expect us to have kind of a vision for the church, and you might expect us to have a plan for how the church is going to move forward. You might expect us to kind of organize and plan just the different activities and things that we do here at SIBC. And I'll tell you, if you think that way, well, that's how pretty much all Christians think, isn't it? I mean, you can go to any church in any nation, of any denomination, and most people, they will say that the pastor is kind of the leader of the church, right? He's the guy we follow. And I think the thinking, at least in my mind, it goes like this. The pastor is the one who is called by God. And so the pastor is following God and seeking God. And so as the pastor is following God and seeking God, then we follow the pastor. And as we follow the pastor and listen to the pastor, then in a sense, he's teaching us how to get to God. And we kind of go to God, we follow God through the leader that God has set up in the church for us to follow. And I think that's how a lot of people think about leadership in the church. Right? It's probably true all over the world. And I think this has been the thinking for hundreds of years. Actually, probably going back to about 1,800 years ago, probably around the year 300 AD is when this kind of whole way of thinking started. And because it's been this way for so long, we just assume, yeah, that's the way it is. Or is it? Friends, as the people of God, who is our leader? Even here at SIBC, who is our leader? Is it the pastor? Or is it possible that God has a different way of thinking about this? What does the Bible say about this? So today we're going to look at four passages that are going to help us answer this question. But actually, it'll take us 3 weeks to really answer this question. We'll spend a couple of weeks on this. And I told Yuko that, and she laughed, and she said, maybe 5 weeks or 6 weeks, because I wasn't going to spend 2 weeks, and I already told her it's going to be three, and now she thinks it's going to be five. But we're going to spend a couple of weeks trying to answer this question. But I want to start by looking at a story of Moses. Story of Moses and the people of Israel. In Exodus chapter 19, Moses has just led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt, right? And they're on their way to the land that God promised to give them. And along the way, they stop off at Mount Sinai. And Moses, he goes up on Mount Sinai and he takes this time, he meets with God. And in Exodus 19, God speaks to Moses. And God gives kind of a message to Moses that Moses is supposed to give to the people. So God tells Moses what to say to the people. And take a look at what is on God's heart for the people. This is Exodus 19, verse 6. This is God speaking. God says, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. Right? So God tells Moses, Say this to the Israelites. Tell them, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And friends, here we see God's heart for his people. God's heart for the people of Israel is that they would be, look what he says, a kingdom of priests. It wasn't God's plan to have just a few people among the Israelites be priests. He didn't want just, you know, a small group of people or a special class of people to be priests, people who would draw near to him and minister before him and worship him. No, God wanted a whole nation of priests. God wanted everyone, the entire people of Israel, right, to come before him and draw near to him and to minister before him like a priest. God's desire is for the whole nation to be that way. And so, right after this, God tells Moses, okay, Moses, in a couple of days, I want to speak to all the people. I personally want to talk to the entire nation of Israel. So in chapter 19 and 20, they're kind of getting ready for the day when God's going to speak to them. And then in chapter 20, it's the day. And all the people, they gather at the foot of Mount Sinai, and they look up at the mountain. And suddenly they begin to have a change of heart. Take a look at what happens here. Chapter 20, verse 18. It says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance. Right? So here's this mountain. The presence of God is there. The thunder, the lightning, all the smoke. And they're like, okay, right? They're kind of keeping their distance. And then look at the very next verse. This is the key. It says, and they, the people of Israel, said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen to you. But do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Now, they're being a little melodramatic there. God wasn't going to kill them, right? They weren't going to die. It would have been a good thing for them to come into the presence of God. But friends, do you see what they said here? Right? The people of Israel, right? God's desire was to speak to them. And they says, no, we don't want to listen to the voice of God. Right? God's heart was for the people of Israel to become a kingdom of priests. Right? God's plan was not just to have these few people who were, you know, being these priests. He wanted to speak to everyone. And yet, the people did not want to listen to God. God wanted this kingdom of people who would draw near to Him. But the people says, no. We have a better idea. We'll just follow Moses. Moses, you talk to God and then you tell us what God has to say. You see, the people wanted Moses to stand between them and God. Right? They wanted God to talk to Moses. Moses talked to them. Friends, they preferred to follow a man instead of following God. They preferred to listen to the voice of a human being instead of listening to the voice of God. Now, friends, I want you to see that this was not God's plan. That was not God's heart. God wanted to speak directly to His people. He wanted to deal directly with His people. He wanted to interact, have fellowship directly with His people. But the people said, no. We want to go through Moses. And so God actually changed His plan. And God gave the people what they wanted. And it was this whole religious system of that included a special class of priests. And these people then would stand between God and the people. They did all the religious things so the people wouldn't have to actually draw near to God on their own. But friends, that wasn't God's heart. That wasn't God's heart. He wanted a kingdom of priests. Everyone drawing near to Him. That was not the way God wanted it to be. But you kind of see the story? The people chose to follow a man instead of follow God. Okay, let's move on to our second story. This is in 1 Samuel 8. We're actually going to read from 1 Samuel 8, so if you want to open your Bibles there, you can. But this story actually takes place a couple of hundred years after the time of Moses. So the people of Israel, they've entered into the promised land and they're beginning to kind of get established and starting to get settled there in the promised land. And at the time, Samuel, he's kind of the main prophet guy in Israel at the time. And let's go ahead and read what happens here in 1 Samuel chapter 8. Starting in verses 4 and 5. It says this. So the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. So friends, we see here that the people of Israel, they desire a king. They express their desire for a king. Up until this time, in the whole history of Israel, they had never had a king. But now it says they begin to look at the nations around them. Hey, they have a king. Oh, they have a king. Hey, they have a king too. Wow, look, they have a big palace and they sit on a big throne. And wouldn't it be cool to have a king too? Oh, Samuel, we want a king. Give us a king, all right? We want an earthly ruler just like all the other nations around us. The people want a king. And then look what happens next if we go Just to the next two verses. Verses 6 and 7. It continues. But when they said, "Give us a king to lead us," this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord told him, "Listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king." So friends, now we see why Israel never had a king. Right? It's because God was their king. Right? All those years when they thought they had no one leading them, God was actually leading them himself. Right? As king, God was watching over them. God was protecting them. God was taking care of them. And let's be honest, God could do that much better than a human being ever could, right? And that was God's desire. God wanted to be king over his people. He himself wanted to be king over his kingdom. God wanted to be his people's leader. And so when the people asked for a human king, God says they were rejecting him. "God, we don't want you to be king. We'd rather have a person. A person who can sit in a building and sit on a throne and we can see him, and we want him to be king." Well, as the story continues, Samuel goes back to these elders of Israel and he begins to tell them all of the how hard it would be if they actually had a human king. All the bad things that would begin to happen. And he said that a human king would take their sons and daughters, you know, make them go off to war and make them work in here and do that and this. And he said a king would take their crops and the king would take part of their land. He said the king would actually make them slaves. They would become slaves to the king. So Samuel tried to warn the people. And yet, look at how the people responded. Last two verses. This is verses 19 and 20. It says, but the people refused to listen to Samuel. "No," they said, "we want a king over us. Then we will be like all the other nations." Friends, you see, when the people had a choice between following God as their king or following a human as their king, they chose to follow the human. And we see that the reason is because they want to be like the world. They didn't want to do it differently. God had a different way, but they didn't want to do it that way. They wanted to be just like the people around them, just like the world, the nations around them. They wanted to conform to how everyone else did it. See, they didn't care that God had a different way. And friends, that's what the whole Kingdom Culture series was about, right? Every week we saw how God's way is different than the world's way, right? God says forgive the world. They says it's okay to get revenge. And, you know, God tells us to love, but the world isn't loving like God tells me. It's just, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the world are different ways of doing life. And that's the same thing here. God wants to be their king, but they go, no. We don't like your way, God. We want to be like the world. We want to be like everyone else. Give us a man to rule over us. But friends, again, I want you to see that was not God's desire. Right? It was not God's desire. God did not intend for his people to have a human leader. God didn't want a human being, a king, to stand between him and his people. God wanted his people to look only to him, to trust only in him, to follow only him. Do you see that? Do you see what's going on here? Now, as you read the stories about the kings in the Bible, we see it 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, those six books. You read all about the kings in Israel. And occasionally there was a good king, a king who loved God and led the people well. But most of the kings in Israel were not so good. They were very self-centered. They kind of led, you know, to kind of please themselves. It was all about them, right? And as a result, these kings led God's people into war, often led them into idolatry, worshiping false idols. Because of the evil deeds of these kings, right, the people of Israel, they suffered hardship and famine and drought and difficulties. Eventually, the kingdom was divided into two, right? And then both of these two kingdoms now were attacked by enemy armies and were taken off into captivity as prisoners. Friends, and it's all because the people chose to follow a human leader instead of allowing God to be their king. Okay, let's fast forward now a couple of hundred years to the time of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel. Right, in Ezekiel 34, we read that God actually has some words for the leaders of Israel. He's talking specifically to the priests and to the kings, and he calls them shepherds. Right? And we understand that image, right? Shepherds, a shepherd is someone who watches over the sheep and protects the sheep and takes care of the sheep, right? And in calling these leaders shepherds, the kings and the priests shepherds, God was saying that there's an expectation that these leaders will take care of the people of Israel, watch over the people of Israel, and protect the people of Israel. So let's look at what God has to say to these shepherds. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 here in Ezekiel 34. Okay, this is God speaking through Ezekiel. It says, "The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds and you clothe yourselves with the wool and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." Friends, those are some pretty harsh words by God to these leaders. Here we see these shepherds, these leaders in Israel, they weren't being good shepherds. They weren't taking care of the sheep. They weren't protecting God's people. They weren't watching over God's people. They were bad shepherds. They were bad leaders. So guys, let me ask you this. What's the solution to having bad shepherds or bad leaders? Well, in our thinking, right? We get rid of the bad shepherds and we find good shepherds, right? That's what we do in politics and government, right? If the prime minister, we don't like what he's doing, we get rid of him, we find someone better. If the president of America isn't doing a good job, we get rid of him, we try to find a better one. We think we replace bad shepherds with good shepherds. We replace bad leaders with good leaders. That sounds right, right? But remember, God thinks about things differently. Because that's not God's solution. God's solution wasn't to find new human leaders. Well, let's take a look at what God's solution is. It's written here. Look at what God says in verses 11 and 12. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. We can go on to verse 15. It continues. God says, I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. So friends, what's God's solution to bad shepherds? Right? God's solution is not to find good shepherds. His solution isn't to find good human beings who can lead his people. No, God's solution is that God himself would be the shepherd of his people. And that's what God's wanted from the very beginning, right? Back in the time of Moses, back in the time of Samuel, right? He never wanted a human being standing between him and his people. Right? God is a better king, a better shepherd, a better leader than any human could ever be. So God says, I myself will watch over my people. I myself will be their shepherd. I myself want to be their leader. Friends, this is God's heart for his people. As the church, as the people of God, this is God's heart for us. God says to you, God says to me, I want to be your shepherd. I will take care of you. I will tend to you. I will watch over you. Well, just to make sure we didn't miss this very important truth, God sent his son Jesus, right? And then in John chapter 10, Jesus said these amazing words. John 10:14, Jesus announced, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." Friends, who's our shepherd? Is it a pastor? Is it some other church leader? Someone else that we admire or respect? Some person, a mature Christian, someone who's been around longer than us? No. Our shepherd is Jesus. And it's only Jesus. And we actually see this all over the New Testament, right? Just let me give you a few examples. Last week, we saw how Jesus was the head of the church, right? The Bible says that 4 or 5 times, Jesus is the head of the church. Bible never says the pastor is the head of the church. You can look. I've looked. It's not there. Only Jesus is the head of the church. And we'll talk more about that next week. But take a look here. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 2:5. It says this, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man." Who is it? The man Christ Jesus. Friends, who stands between you and God? Is it me? Is it another person? No, it's Jesus. Jesus is the one who stands between us and God. Only Jesus. Jesus says something similar. John chapter 14. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through the pastor." Except through me. Except through me. Friends, the pastor is not the way. A spiritual leader is not the way. Jesus is the way. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And it's only Jesus. Friends, I think just my point this morning is very simple. And that's why on your outline, usually I have like number one, number two, number three. There's no number one, two, and three because there's only one point. And it's just simply this. As I read the Bible, as I try to understand the Bible, and I'm still learning, I'm still growing. If you can help me, that would really be good. But as I'm trying to understand the Bible, it seems to me God never intended his people to follow a human leader. God's heart has always been that we would follow him. And I know for us that's really hard to understand because we only know human leaders, right? In our world, we only know how to follow another person. And the whole purpose of being a leader is so that people will follow you, right? I mean, that's one definition of a leader. A leader has followers. If no one's following you, you're not a leader. And that's how we think about leadership in this world. It's we only know the model that we have where we see our leaders and they're human and we follow them. And so we bring that thinking into the church and we think, okay, we need a leader. Hey, the pastor, we'll make him the leader. And we lift up the pastor and then we follow him. We teach the people to follow him. And we look to the pastor to lead us to God and we trust the pastor is called by God and the pastor is looking to God and following God himself. But we so much need a human that we can follow because that's all we know how to do. But friends, when we do that in the church, we create something that God never intended. Right? Because now, instead of following Jesus, we follow another person. Right? And now instead of listening to God ourselves and looking to God ourselves, we look to another person. We listen to another person. And friends, when we do this, the pastor actually becomes a substitute or a surrogate or a replacement for Jesus in our lives. Now, no one ever says that, right? And no one ever intends it to be that way, but that's often the way it is. Right? And let's be honest, it's easier to follow a person that we can see and that we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears, right? It's really easy to follow a person like that. Right. But friends, and I know especially in church, it's easy just to, you know, listen to the pastor and kind of do what he says. As long as he only says what we want to hear, right? As soon as he starts saying things we don't want to hear, we find another pastor to follow, right? That's usually the way it works. How convenient for us. But friends, as long as we depend on a leader to stand between us and God, we'll never mature. We can grow. We'll grow, of course, especially if it's a good leader and they're pointing us to Jesus, we can grow. But we'll never really mature. Because as long as we're following another person, a spiritual leader, a pastor, we'll never really learn how to look to Jesus for ourselves. And listen to Jesus for ourselves. And follow Jesus for ourselves. Because we'll be depending upon the pastor to do that for us. And friends, that's too bad, because God's heart is that we would look to Him. Right? We've seen here in these different scriptures, and these are only some, right? God wants to be our leader. He wants to be our king. He wants to be our shepherd. He wants us to follow only Him. Now, I know I say this a lot at SIBC. Almost every week, I talk about the importance of looking to Jesus and listening to Jesus and following Jesus. And even as I say these things, I know that that's a struggle for many people. Personally, it's a struggle for me. You know, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? And you know, I struggle. And actually, there's two ways I struggle with this. The first way I struggle with this is that, you know, following Jesus on our own, it takes effort, doesn't it? I mean, it takes time to build relationship with Jesus. It takes effort to be still and listen to Him. It takes effort to just, you know, be diligent in reading our Bibles. It takes effort to learn how to recognize His voice. And you know, sometimes my flesh just wants what's easy. I don't want to take effort, right? I want what's easiest for me. And sometimes the easy thing is just to follow a person. Right, whether it's a pastor or for me, I listen to people online, you know, these podcasts and things. But it's so much easier just to maybe go to church and to listen to what the pastor says and do what the pastor says and believe what the pastor tells you to believe, instead of actually seeking Jesus for myself. So I struggle with that. It's my flesh wants what's easy. It's easier to follow a person than it is sometimes to follow Jesus. The other way I struggle with this, and maybe some of you can relate to this, is sometimes I lack confidence in my ability to actually follow Jesus. It's like, who am I to actually follow Jesus? You know, who am I to hear His voice and to listen to His voice? And you know, I don't know how to do that. And sometimes I read the Bible, but I don't understand everything I read. And you know, how do I know if God's really speaking this? What happens if I think He is and I go this way and I make a mistake? Or what happens if I'm wrong? Or maybe I try to obey God, but you know, I fail. And will God be angry at me? It's like, I don't know if I can do this. You know, and I lack the confidence to follow Jesus myself. And it's so much easier just to follow another person, because they speak so much more clearly. You know, I go to church and gosh, the guy tells me what to believe. He tells me how to understand the Bible. And he tells me how to live the Christian life. And if he's really kind of a good pastor, he'll tell me how to serve and tell me what to do. And he'll watch over me and protect me and control me. And you know, and it makes it easy, doesn't it? It doesn't take much confidence to follow a person like that. And so sometimes we lack the confidence to actually follow Jesus for ourselves. But friends, you got to hear this. This, I think, is maybe the most important thing this morning. Friends, as Christians, we do not put confidence in our ability to follow Jesus. Rather, we put our confidence in Jesus' ability to lead us. That's where our confidence is. It's not in ourselves. Our confidence is in Jesus, right? Friends, the truth is, we're not very good at following Jesus. Even those of you who are good or better than the rest of us, you're still not very good. But here's the deal. Jesus is very, very good at leading us. He's the good shepherd, right? He's the loving heavenly Father, right? What's the parable? There's 100 sheep and the one wanders off. What does the shepherd do? Bad sheep, I knew he'd wander off, but we'll just let him get in trouble. No, the shepherd goes running after the one lost sheep and brings it back. Friends, we don't have to worry about maybe missing God and making a mistake, because God is a good shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He'll come and He'll bring us back to where we need to be. See, and that's how we learn. That's how we grow, isn't it? You see, friends, we can trust Jesus to be our good, good shepherd. And on top of that, we have the Word of God to guide us. We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Gosh, do we need anything else? Friends, let me say this again. Our confidence is not in our ability to follow Jesus. Our confidence is in Jesus' ability to lead us. And I think if we make just that simple effort to kind of lean into Him and listen to Him, just that simple effort of drawing near to Him, we can trust Him to be our leader. Yes, we will make mistakes. I guarantee that. So don't get upset when you do. Right? We will get it wrong sometime. But that's okay. He's a good enough shepherd to bring us back to where we need to be. And in that process, we will learn how to follow Him. And friends, that's what Jesus wants. That's His desire. That was His desire during the time of Moses, during the time of Samuel, during the time of Ezekiel, during the days of Jesus. And it's still His desire for the church today as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as a church family. Jesus wants to be our leader. I think Hebrews 12 kind of says this better than, well, it's so simple. Hebrews 12, 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Right? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes it's easy to want to look to this person, look to that person, look to that leader. Oh, man, they'll look to them. Fix our eyes on Jesus. Now, as I prepare to close, let me just be very, very clear about this. Maybe some of you are wondering. Friends, I'm not saying we don't need leaders in the church. Because we absolutely need leaders in the church. And I can say that with 100% confidence because Scripture is just really, really clear that God has for whatever reason, God has given some people the privilege to serve as leaders in the church. Not only are there pastors, but there's elders and there's deacons and there's prophets and there's evangelists and there's apostles. And all of these are necessary for the church to be strong and healthy, for us to be strong and healthy. So yes, we need church leaders. So don't misunderstand me there. And in a few weeks, we'll talk more about this. Friends, so here's the deal. Leaders in the church are good. But when leaders stand between us and God, not good. Right. Leaders in the church are good, but when we take our eyes off of God and begin to follow the leader instead of following Jesus Himself, not good. So over these next few weeks, we want to talk about leaders in the church and what does the Bible say about church leaders. And I think it'll be really good for us. And I think you'll be surprised at what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say about church leaders. But friends, just above all, and I'm not here to push down leaders. I'm here to lift up Jesus. Friends, above all, at SIBC, we want to follow Jesus. He's our shepherd. He's our king. He's our leader. This is His church. He's the head. We want to learn how to follow Him. And so as this series goes on, we want to rethink really what it means to make Jesus the head of the church. I mean, this morning when we gather here, every morning when we gather here, is Jesus really the center of all that we do? When we gather here, do we really come here to look to Him and to listen to Him and to seek Him? Or is it possible that sometimes we come to listen to a person? I wonder what Michael has to say for today. Friends, because if in any way it's about what the people here on the stage do, my question is how can I step to the side so that Jesus really is center? So Jesus really does lead and organize the time that we spend together. And if you really start to think about that question, that's a huge question. And I've been thinking about that for a couple of years. I hope that you will also start to think about that. Because in the weeks to come, after the message, after the service, we're going to start to take time to gather together and just have a chance just to kind of share the things that you're thinking. As you're going through this series, as God is kind of just speaking to you and giving you ideas, we're just going to come just to kind of talk and just try to figure out how we can actually begin to put into practice some of these things that we talk about. So I really hope that you will be thinking about some of these things as it relates to the church. But friends, before before we can apply this message to the whole body here at SIBC, I think it starts with each one of us applying this message to our individual lives. So as we prepare to go into this time of worship, this time of communion, this time of prayer, here's the question. Who is your leader? Who do you follow? As you go through the Christian life, who do you look to? Who do you listen to? Is it me? Is it some other church leader? Is it your favorite author or a teacher you listen to on the internet? Right? Do you follow your family or your friends or the world? Do you follow yourself? Who's your leader? Is it Jesus? Here at SIBC, we talk a lot about looking to Jesus, listening to Jesus, following Jesus. But we want to do more than just talk about that. Are we really doing that here at SIBC? Friends, is that really in your heart? To look to Him, to follow Him, to listen to Him. Friends, Jesus wants to be your leader. That's the desire of His heart. Is that the desire of your heart? Let's pray. Father God,
we thank You. Jesus, we thank You that You desire to be our leader, our shepherd, our king. And we know that You are a better leader and a better shepherd and a better king than any person we could ever, ever look to. And yet, Jesus, we come here this morning and we confess that sometimes it's hard to follow You because we can't see You and it's hard to hear You and it's just, sometimes it's easier to follow someone else. But Jesus, we don't want to follow anyone else. As Peter said, Jesus told His disciples they could leave if they wanted to. Peter says, but where else can we go, Jesus? You alone have the words of life. Jesus, we want to look to You. So we ask that just in these days and weeks and months to come, that You would continue to teach us how to look to You and how to listen to You and how to follow You in our individual lives. Both when we're here as a church family, but also when we're gathered, scattered out during the week. Teach us how to look to You. And as a church family, we ask that You would begin to teach us what it means to look to You when we gather here on Sunday. We don't want some program organized and planned by man. We want to know what's on Your heart. We want to follow You. We want to listen to You. We want You to lead us and guide us in all that we do when we gather here on Sundays. So, Lord, we look to You and we ask for You to help us. We can't do this on our own. We're not very good followers, but we trust that You are a good leader. And that if we just look to You, listen to You, just lean just a little bit towards You, that You indeed will lead and guide. You'll be our shepherd and our king. Lord, help us now, we pray. In Jesus' name.